This is a replay of the Tuesday night, January 16th WGN show. We started around 11. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, 2 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, and if nothing is on your mind, I've got the tabloids. That's right, slime from the checkout line. So if that doesn't get your attention, nothing will. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. Just looking at a plethora of stories, and meant to mention this the other day, but and maybe you've heard already, probably so, but Joyce Randolph died. And I had mentioned that to John, and he said, "Who's she?" And I said, "How can you not know Trixie Norton?" But what's interesting, of course, the last of the Honeymooners, she made it to 99 years old. And yes, she was Trixie, and was the perfect foil for her dim-witted husband. And 99 years old, natural causes on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, according to her her son. And the Honeymooners was just a terrific little black and white sitcom in the 50s. They billed it as an affectionate look at Brooklyn tenement life, and really it was. It supposedly was based in part on Jackie Gleason's childhood, and of course he played Ralph Cramden, the blustering bus driver, and Audrey Meadows, of course, the wisecracking wife that was Alice. And of course, it was Art Carney against Joyce Randolph and her character Trixie. And so, it was terrific. And it's probably still on one of the look back channels, Antenna TV, or one of those. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised, because the interesting thing about those shows is that they're truly timeless. Because this is before you get away with anything really topical or anything quote unquote cutting edge. And the problem with anything cutting edge is invariably it is dated. The things that at the time we're looking at and are, you know, oh, so amazed that that's on television or whatever, is trite or worse at this point in time. But man, some of these old shows that had absolutely none of that last to this day. True for a lot of the radio dramas, too, prior to television. But then you look at things like, I think the first one that shocked everybody to a great extent was Archie Bunker on All My Children and what he would say. And I remember so distinctly around 1970 that kids would, and I mean kids college age or so, would gather around the television just absolutely, I won't say enthralled, but in awe that Archie got away with saying that stuff. And now, of course, you listen to that, and well, if anybody's shocked, it's not for all the right reasons. It's for political correctness. But for the most part, it just doesn't hold up, doesn't stand stand the test of time, the way other things that had none of that involvement, they become timeless. And that was true for the Honeymooners as well. And it actually started out as a skit on Gleason's variety show, which was Cavalcade of Stars. And from that, they I think that was like 1950. And it wasn't long thereafter, I think early 50s, that it debuted. And it grew in popularity because Gleason had switched networks with the Jackie Gleason Show, which and didn't do all that much, but I guess it was that spawned the Honeymooners, where it was a full-fledged series, and I think there were only 39 episodes, yeah, in total. So, interestingly, Joyce Randolph got, like most of the players of that day, absolutely no compensation for residuals. No one thought of it. No one thought that somebody would be airing them not only years, but decades later. And she finally began getting royalties with the discovery of quote-unquote lost episodes from the variety of hours. And interesting, but nonetheless, after being Trixie, Randolph retired, and motherhood and being a wife. And she said, "I didn't miss a thing by not working." That's right. I didn't want a nanny raising my son. So the interesting thing is, decades later, Randolph still got dozens of letters a week from fans. And, of course, you know, as I say, the show just played on and probably still is. But so rest in peace, 99 years old. And it was interesting, like a lot of people who were featured on sitcoms. The good news is people remembered them decades later. The bad news is that was the end of them working for a while, for years after Joyce played Trixie. Director said, "We can't use her. She's too well known as Trixie. We can't do that." And that's true to this day, of course, for people who are branded with any particular product. So rest in peace to Joyce Randolph. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. I don't have a list, but I've noticed that this year, since the new year, just 16 days ago, seems like a lot of people have left us all of a sudden. Getting out while the getting's good, I guess, because that's the other thing that I noticed. Got a ton of things on YouTube, of course. Anyone can pontificate about anything, but it seems like the psychics are in rare form. So many of them pretty much predicting, doom and gloom really wouldn't be fair, because it's more that I don't know if they're waiting for an outer space invasion or what, but so many people saying, "Oh, this will change civilization as we know it." And I'm not sure. All I know is that I think inflation's already done that. Because I say that because I got an estimate today on a job that I had done on another site exactly 3 years ago. And it was a fairly small job, and it cost me $4,300. So I got the quote today for virtually an identical job, $8,600. Double, absolutely double. And it was interesting to me that the contractor felt the need on the estimate to fully explain why the cost doubled. And he listed everything he now had to pay in terms of for raw material, hardware, things like that. And he matched whatever he paid in goods with services, dollar for dollar. But yeah, $4,300 to $8,600 in 3 years. That's the time that it really gets dark. And yes, I checked around, and no, it wasn't an unusual quote. It's where we are. We don't notice it as much when the fast food hamburger goes up in price. Like, oh, say you need an estimate for a hot dog at Sonic, but we do notice it when it's four figures. And man, to double. Yeah, so more good news. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We'll talk to Jim in New Orleans. We'll have room for you, too. And, yes, Jimmy P gave us a list of bumpers. Yeah, and plus your requests, too. So all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
That was, of course, with the Channels, 1957 on Gone, and Jimmy P requested that. I love the Channels. In fact, the record they had out just before that, Altar of Love, the flip side of that was All Alone, just the absolute best Channels record ever, I thought. But That's My Desire, fine as well. Earl Lewis, lead singer, of course. So that was Jimmy P's first request, and happy to play it. And John came in and said, you know, you were saying all in the family, but at one point you said All My Children. No, absolutely not. Not talking about All My Children or any other soap operas, but apparently that was on my mind because Alec Musser died. And if you're an All My Children fan, you will know who that is, All My Children fan, in the last, say, 15 years or so. But he used to be an Abercrombie & Fitch model, good-looking guy, dead at 50 years old, no cause at this point in time. So, all right, now that we've cleared that up, I believe we're going to get some requests from Jukebox Jack. Well, all right, get down with your bad self. Jack, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello.
So what you want to hear?
Yes. Dickie Do and the Don'ts.
Oh, God, help
Click
us.
Click-clack.
Yeah, yeah, Jerry Granahan Lives. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the Fabulous Whalers, Tall, Cool One.
Okay. Yeah, there's Seattle for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. I can play them both for you.
Sounds wonderful. Thank
you. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Dickie Do and the Don'ts. That was Jerry Granahan kissing up to Dick Clark, whose kid was named Dickie Do as a nickname there. And so, rack. Anyway, 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE. Jim is in New Hampshire, of course. No, he couldn't be in New Orleans. No, he wants to freeze. So, all right. One of these days we'll find out, like, if you're in witness protection or something, because nobody voluntarily goes to New Hampshire. Yeah, and worse than that, I was, you know, now that the primary's coming and all that, I was thinking, I wonder how the Balsams is doing, because I used to love that hotel, and I looked it up and found out it's been closed for over a decade. So, up in Dixville Notch, and that broke my heart, because it was like the last of the palatial hotels from over 100 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they're going to develop into, they'll develop it into condos that you and I can't afford. That's how that'll go.
That's what's going to happen, probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. But,
yep.
No, that song you played before, who was that you said?
The Channels?
The Channels. I love that. It just, it sort of put me in mind of Don K. Reed doo-wop.
Oh, absolutely. And he played
CBSFM.
Yes, and he absolutely played a lot of Channels and Earl. Because, of course, the Channels were from Harlem, so it was a hometown band. And, Earl Lewis. And, like I say, my favorite was All Alone. I thought that was just magnificent.
See, I knew somebody at, 105.
Uh-huh.
The old LTS
of course,
down in New Orleans.
In Slidell, that, yes, yes.
Oh, you betcha, sure.
Yeah.
The guy that I knew, he liked to listen to stuff in Q when he was playing stuff for over-the-air consumption.
Perfect.
And one day I called him, and one night he was listening to Don K. Reed, and I said, who's that? And
oh, my God.
CBSFM.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know about the doo-wop, shop-shop? Oh, Don K. Reed.
Oh, yeah. I knew about it. Yeah, I did. I had just, never had occasion to actually
hear it.
hear it. It was back in the days when you could listen to stuff on the satellite if
right.
you actually had one.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I had, always heard of, Doo-Wop Shop and CBS FM 101 and,
right.
Everything like that, you know. And I had a thought. While I was listening to the news, waiting for you to come on, and how at the end there, the news guy—I can't think of his name right now—but he said it was 3 degrees, and
yes.
It kind of made me think to myself, gee whiz, they stopped around, they stopped by and didn't even do when will I see you again.
No, that was David Jennings. And actually, I heard some of that newscast as well. And since you were listening, I'll ask you. When they did some actualities about people commenting about the weather, I swear that first one, that person was not speaking English.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of that. Now they're interviewing people who don't speak the language. So I don't know. I'm really looking forward to that news again. And I hope if David is listening, he'll play me that. And maybe the guy was speaking English, but the first guy, I swear he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, definitely love the channels and boy, I'll tell you something that was really really cool, and unfortunately they messed with it and then they got rid of it, and that was cool gold.
That actually started in Phoenix. And the guy who started it, his air name was B.J. Hunter. His real name was Andrew Ashwood. Sadly, he died. He later went into sports radio, and he was PDWOAI in San Antonio for a while, and because he tried to hire me, mm-hmm. bless his soul, and I just wasn't biting. But I did spend a week there, and I tell him, this is the only week you're getting out of me. And so and it was, but nonetheless we had a good time. But yeah, he then went into all sports radio and died, I'm sorry to say. But he was the guy at Cool Gold in Phoenix who did that format, and it was well done.
Oh my gosh. I was so, I remember because they picked it up at 990 in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Where you at?
That's right.
And I wasn't sure I was going to like it until I heard it, and I thought, oh my gosh.
No, exactly. No. Andrew died in 2008. He was working for Fox Sports Radio. He was only 51 years old.
It
broke my heart.
Oh my
gosh. And it was actually the strength of Cool Gold, and I told him that too. I said, the only reason I'm willing to come and do a week for you is because you gave me so much pleasure on Cool Gold that I'll come and do this. And so So I did, and had a great week. But of course it was the day. I remember, God, I had to get up in the day. Always tough. In any
uh-huh.
event. He was single most of his life. He got married right when he turned 50, and things were going so well. 3 months after the marriage, he was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh my gosh.
And
that's terrible.
Yeah, he died of a heart attack. And I think, I don't know this for sure, but I always thought it was probably from the chemo, because he just dropped dead of a heart attack during that.
Oh man.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We're going to find out what's going on in the world at large, and hopefully we'll hear that actuality again. I'm sure he wasn't speaking English, but we'll find out on WGN Radio.
Oh, baby, I need you so. Cause I love you so. Oh, baby, baby, I want you here with me. It's you I love, you see. Your love I kiss me, baby. Baby, oh, you make me feel so good.
Doo-doo.
Chicago as it gets. The Spaniels, they're on Chance Records at that point, and of course later on BJ. But Baby It's You, and not to be confused with those girls who were on Scepter, the Shirelles. There you go. Couldn't think of it for a minute. Or the Beatles cover of that. No, this was the real deal, and that goes back to 1953, like I say. And I think VJ released it after Chance as well, so I'm not sure what the deal was there, other than possibly distribution. So we're talking to Jim in New Hampshire, and a big thanks to David Jennings for filling me in. It wasn't in English. I didn't hear the translation. I just heard the sound clip. Said, wait a minute, they're not in English. I'm sure they're not. So yeah, we're back.
Yes. God, we're glad we got that all straight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm sure the translations were wonderful, but when you're only listening with one ear, you know, you can tell when suddenly it's changed languages.
But yeah, we were talking about a good old Cool Gold.
Yes, and, which was wonderful.
Oh, good gosh. Yes, it was. I was wondering what C.J. Brown is. I think she did Middays on there for a while.
And, you know, and I wish I could answer this, but somebody else had asked on one of the boards. I think it was on Radio Discussions, but I forget what they'd said, so I don't know. Cool Gold was originally Cool FM, and then Satellite Music Network, of course, syndicated, and that's where you heard it that way. But originally,
and the thing I loved about that was they didn't actually try to reinvent the wheel. They just took it. Yeah. And,
right.
Oh man.
But yeah, that's terrible. I you were not the only one to ask about CJ, and I remember reading it, and I swear to God, I have not a clue. I'll try to find out.
Yeah. Try to see if you can, because she was one of my favorites there over there on Cool there, and. I have a couple of requests. I don't know if you got them, but I hope you do. Do you have Matilda or Got You On My Mind, My Cookie and the Cupcakes?
Cookie and the Cupcakes, of course. Well, Matilda's an anthem, so everybody's got Matilda. But which do you prefer?
Sure.
Which do you prefer?
Got You On My Mind is one of my favorites.
Okay, yeah. Well,
it reminds me of Where You At.
Right. If I had to pick it, I would have gone with that as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But speaking of Yat and all sorts of wonderful Louisiana things, John years ago put a single page Facebook page with me on it, and I said, "Don't do that because I'll never read it." But he does occasionally, and he said Gilligan wrote to you. So Gilligan worked quite a bit in Louisiana and still is, and has been battling cancer for 6 years. But if he gets to hear this show, but it was very nice of him to check in. But again, if you try to reach me on Facebook, I don't do Facebook. You know, there are certain things I just don't do, and that's high on the list. But I'll try to find how to reach Gilligan in another way, because I hope he'll be doing well. But he was, I think, one of the first persons to tell me when Sherry passed, and that's
why. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 2017 now. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, definitely. Definitely miss her, no doubt about it.
Oh, God, yes. And, I mean, I love the way she'd play things like a Big Joe on regular rotations. So,
yeah. Play the Iceman.
Yes,
oh,
exactly. No one else played the Iceman with a straight face, so...
That's true.
We gotta like her for that. But yeah, I'll play my mind set on you, because of course Cookie and His Cupcakes, little would he know that years later it would be covered.
That is true.
Yep.
Who knows? I mean, you just never know about it.
Exactly. I hope to hell he wrote it. But, you know, I'll have to find that out, because that's always good. If he actually wrote it, then he'd be doing very well. So yeah.
And another thing about you have to remember your good friend, the rock and roll pig.
Oh, of course, Barry Richards.
Who's still with us.
I loved Barry. You know, I can't believe it's been like over 5 years. I went to a 75th surprise birthday party. And that was in Los Angeles. I actually drove over to Los Angeles just to do that. And it was great to see him. And I understand also from that same page that he's a denizen of Facebook. And so he must think I don't talk to him. But no, it's just I don't do Facebook.
Anyway. You're not a Facebook guy.
No, I just can't.
Like, I'm not really a Facebook guy. I'll go out there every once in a blue, know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I don't, it's not something I do.
Right,
you know?
Right. But according to John, he's on there all the time, and that's great.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
But I'm looking up to see whether Cookie wrote it, because, of course, anybody who didn't know it was George Harrison, of course, who covered it, but I'm looking for Cookie, and I'm not finding out the author. I'll keep looking.
No, that's because the song you're looking for is Got You On My Mind.
Yeah.
That's what you're...
Okay.
Right, so.
Okay, that's exactly why. All right, here we are. That's the flip of I've Been So Lonely. Yeah, all right. Well, that's what I'll play for you, I promise.
Okay, fantastic.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You
all
betcha.
Right, so we will do that. That was 1963. Cookie and His Cupcakes, Got You On My Mind. All right, coming up next on WGN Radio. Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that is Cookie and His Cupcakes. And Swamp Pop famous Cookie, who was actually not Cookie, but Huey Terry was his name. And he shared the lead vocals, if you're saying, well, there were two of them. Yeah, that was Shelton Dunaway was the other one. And the big hit originally was Matilda. And that was interesting because it started on Lyric Records and then Judd reissued. The thing about this is there are all these little local labels. And so you can find it on three or four different labels, like Got You On My Mind. The first time I saw it was Gin Records, which was some guy named Floyd, and his wife was named Gin. So not making this up, they named the label Gin, but it was ultimately picked up on Chess. And that's why the rest of us all knew what it was. So 888-876-5593. Oh, I'm so pleased to see this. We have Nick in Baltimore. Now, firstly, Nick, how are you feeling?
better.
Yay.
I've been sick, so.
Yeah.
Well, it's in my usual fall and winter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I'm okay now.
Oh, good. Well, you left me with an assignment last time. We were talking about WCBM and in terms of...
Yeah,
we're talking about common ownership. Well, the deal is they could have owned DC with them because they weren't common service. In other words, the multiple ownership rule applied to stations within the same class, like two AMs or two FMs.
Okay.
Not an AM and FM. And it was... always 1 millivolt or 60 dBU, and that it was never mileage. Like, it didn't matter if you were 15 or 100 miles. It mattered about the coverage. Were you within the 60 dBU or the 1 millivolt? And so that was considered a no-no. But there were geographic distances later with duopoly and all that. But what we're talking about back then was it would have been coverage area. But again, CBM was AM and WASH was FM. That's what you were asking me about in D.C. Now, so I started to look further. And I remembered that when Metromedia decided to sell all their radio stations, if you'll remember that, the guy who was president of radio at the time was Carl Brazel, and he bought them. He did an LBO, you know, in the early days of everybody's able to do these leverage buyouts, and he got together $285 million, and he bought Metromedia stations. He bought 9 stations. Well, the only problem is, as you know, there were 10 stations. There was CBM. He didn't buy CBM, and I looked and looked and looked. I mean, we all know what happened to CBM 6 ways to Sunday,
right.
But I have no idea why that wasn't it. He got KMET, WASH, WWBA, OMC, NEW, AMN, FM, WIP, MMR, KRLD, and the Texas State Network, but not CBM. So that's all I know.
You know, that and that was really, that whole thing was strange, and I remember at the time, in the early 80s,
mm-hmm.
when CBM went, if we can talk about it for a second, when they went to that ABC talk radio thing,
mm-hmm.
which was a disaster,
mm-hmm.
Stu Frankel, remember they came into MAR, tried to redo that whole thing. Well, the word was, because I was just getting into business then, and the word was that Stu Frankel wanted to buy CBM, and they wanted to pair it with 106.5, which was originally WCBM FM,
right?
And they were going to put the oldies format on the FM and go news talk on the AM,
mm-hmm.
but Kluge wouldn't sell it to them,
right?
Because of the land.
Well, right. Although
he
certainly could have sold it and retained the land. And at that point, though, he wasn't in a selling mood. It didn't come till 86 when he decided, mm-hmm. I'm getting out of radio.
Right.
So, yeah, because a lot of people will sell a station, but not the land and the towers, you know. In fact, it can be income, lease it back.
And look at where we are today.
Uh-huh. Yeah, people turning in licenses because the land is worth so much.
Well, I just read another article about Town Square,
mm-hmm.
turning off stations in New York, New Jersey, I forget where else. Oh, Flint, Michigan. You know, applying for an SDA,
yeah.
temporary authority to stay silent.
Right, right.
Because
you got Trenton and you've got Flint. Of course, these are markets that it's really tough to make a living in. Period.
Right.
So sure. It's really, I think about this often, what could be done, and I don't have a ready answer, because of course the radio that we loved back in the day was, all things to all people. I mean, you know, it's where you go for the traffic tie-ups or the weather or for the personalities or for the baseball scores for, or high school football. Well, now when you think about it, all of that is easily online and available with a keystroke. So providing that alone will not get it. I think the only thing that could happen is if you developed a personality who was irresistible to an audience and was only available where you were. And there aren't that many of those to go around. You know, how many Howard Sterns or Rush Limbaughs are they? But I think that other than having a unique personality that's caught on, the idea about being local, so what?
Yeah, and nobody's doing that now.
Well,
and,
unfortunately, like I say, there. You know, you want to know what the traffic is? Every state has a website that'll tell you up to the minute with pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but the only station that's really I'm going to tell you, and it sounds like I'm, you know, buttering up here, but the only station that's really doing anything is GN.
I agree. I agree. And they've got
live and local,
right. They've got the luxury and the ability to do it because it's been a powerhouse for ever since before we were alive, and they've mm-hmm. never really lost that position. So if this were a startup, I don't think it would be as possible. But yes, GN is an amazing radio station. But you're dealing with a group that they don't have any other radio, and they certainly have the finances to do what they want with GN, and it pays off. Station makes money.
Yeah, and they care about what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was the key to the success of even back here, even an LPL, which was, you know, United yeah. Broadcasting. But right. you had a bunch of guys there who really liked what they were doing, and they did it well.
Right. Oh,
and,
yeah.
As much as a fly-by-night outfit as that
Pierre
ABC
Eaton,
was.
Yeah. Right. Well, sure. The Eatons, Richard and Pierre Eaton, were horrible owners. But in a way, right. that's what enabled LPL to do the things that they did, because ownership right. wasn't looking over them. They were basically just saying, keep the meters moving and give me money.
Yeah, and the other thing was that they actually, from what I know, because friends of mine work there, that they actually put money into that operation.
Yeah, well, and Eaton would have welcomed that, wouldn't he?
Oh yeah, yeah, and it made money, and
yes.
it actually had ratings.
Yeah.
But I was talking to John when I called in. You know, my original thing was I was going to talk about.
Hang on.
Odyssey. By the way,
hang on a second.
I just came in after Jim. Jim's one of my favorite callers.
Oh, good. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We're going to pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio. Dave LaSalle is in one here. Ramsey Lewis, Wade in the Water. Didn't have to twist my arm for that. A fine song indeed. I'm talking to Nick in Baltimore, who was about to bring up the A word.
Audacity.
Yes.
Which I like how you call it audacity.
Yeah, the
you
only...
know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I was talking to John, and he said their stock is down to 10 cents. I said, well, should we invest in it? You know.
No, and here's why they're down to 10 cents. And John said the same thing. He said, let's buy. So I said, no, you got to understand why they're at 10 cents. And I explained it to him. I said, you see, they filed an 11 and a reorganization. Mm-hmm. Now, when you do that, and obviously, if you're an individual and you're buying a house or a car, you have a lender and you pay back your mortgage or you pay back your car loan and that's it. Well, when you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, you don't have, quote unquote, a lender. You have so many levels of debt that I lose count. And of course, your primary lenders, they're going to get paid no matter what. They're the people you got a real good interest rate deal on, all that, but not a whole lot of money. And then the next thing you're looking for is you're looking for that layer of mezzanine financing, that middle ground, but that's sometimes hard to come by. And when you're telling your story, invariably you hit the level of junk bonds. And when you do, subordinated debentures is how they like to call it. But when you're hitting that level, the guy who is, like 103rd on the repayment list, well, if Odyssey goes belly up, what happens is that guy is just completely SOL. So when something like this happens, what they say is they, well, don't worry, you're not going to lose your investment, which they absolutely could if it were a 7, for instance. They say, we're going to convert your debt to equity. Yeah, now the ride to hell begins. All right, so what they did was they got rid of quite a bit of debt and turned it into equity. But, there's only so much to go around, i.e. the producer. So, of course, the stock fell to a dime. I was surprised it wasn't a penny.
Yeah, well, why I mention that is because it's going to be interesting to see what happens to the all news stations, because those things are expensive to run.
Well, they're already trying to chop them up as much as possible with the addition of infomercials and worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course. You listen to the weekends and all that stuff, or listen to the non-primetime stuff. There's a lot of dollar a holler stuff on that.
Oh, God. Once that stuff starts, it never ends.
Well, that's right. Like I always say, a salesman who has sold an infomercial is just like a dog who's tasted chicken. You got to put him down.
I mean, it's like, I'm afraid you're right. I mean, the thing is that, in New York, you got two all-news stations, and they're already chopping. I think you're right. They're already chopping up WCBS. So.
Right. Right.
It's a mess.
Right. So how really would they not? They're also doing content distribution. And that way they can, simulcast streams. You can bet that some of these local stations won't be that local when it's all said and done. There's a number of ways to cut costs. But when you mention, for instance, like New York, in Los Angeles was the same way. You had two all news stations, and they were very different. If you're looking at a world conflict, Israel had blown up or something, you'd go to WCBS or KNX. On the other hand, if you were looking at a traffic tie up in Brooklyn, you'd go to WINS or KFWB. They were very different that way, and had their could very well coexist. And it's tough now all the way around. So I expect you'll see all sorts of shortcuts.
Oh yeah, but I mean, now this is not Odyssey, but what BZ's doing in Boston? They're it's iHeartMedia now.
Well, I was going to say that exactly. That's you betcha. So what are they doing?
They're doing all news all night, but it's pre-recorded.
Yeah, and why is that not the least bit surprising?
No,
and it's a shame. Well, it's a shame because you get those terrific signals, and you really hope that there's going to be someone local and live, because of course that's all our dream. But that's emotional. That's not not reality.
Well, a friend of mine in Oklahoma City tells me that there's a storm out there. The main news talk station KTOK, which is iHeart. They don't have a news department on the weekend.
Right.
And if something happens, they just simulcast the TV.
Well, at least they're doing that. I can't tell you how many places they do nothing. And and this is not new. I've told this story many times. In 1991, it was at night, I was going through Spearfish in South Dakota. And there was a thunderstorm. I knew there were thunderstorms, but I hit one of those. It wasn't really a tornado, but it was awfully close. And so there I am figuring it's good night for Raleigh. And I'm scanning the dial, And the only thing that I could find that was even local, speaking of Oklahoma City, was KOMA. And they were not talking about my thunderstorm. And that's 32 years ago now. So, of course, I can't tell you how many times on the weekend I've been in traffic tie-ups. It happened one day in Spokane on a Saturday afternoon. It was just horrible. And I thought, well, somebody, some radio station's got to tell me what's going on. Not a chance. And same thing on the interstate. I remember coming back from Las Vegas, going to Globe. I had a little stretch that is on I-40. And there I am on I-40, and the interstate is just closed in my direction. No way could I find it. But, like I say, I was able to get online. Sure enough, I could go to ADOT's website, and I had it in minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But no radio station was going to tell me anything.
Yeah. I can remember even here, we talk about WCBM.
Yeah.
All of them, they had news departments even on the weekend.
Yes.
And if we had a weather event, they had hourly news live.
No, I know.
24/7.
I know. And that's the wonderful thing about WGN. I guarantee you, David Jennings is in the next room. He's not on a reel-to-reel recorder.
Oh, yeah. And that's the great thing about GN.
Yeah.
But when I see what they've done to KGO and...
KGO was a heartbreak. I mean, that was not a death. That was a homicide.
They have a .2 now.
Well, I'm surprised they have that. I guess somebody doesn't realize they're no longer doing what they were doing 50 years ago. Because believe me, I don't think anybody's listening. But no, that radio station was literally murdered.
Oh, yeah. It's sad. It really is. Yeah. I mean... And like you say, it started years ago, and it's.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these places are in shambles now. And the station I used to work for down in Annapolis, it's virtually non-existent.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
They're running true oldies, and guys trying to turn it into a sports station. It's not going to work.
No, it was, and Annapolis was great. I forget the guy who owned WANN, but he was a wonderful guy, just an independent owner who loved that.
Maury Blum.
Yes, absolutely. He took me to dinner one night, and
I met his son. He came. Uh-huh. He came to the station. I met his son, and we talked about radio for like three hours.
Yeah, no, his son came to dinner with us. I remember that very well. It was 1989, I think, and Maury was still very much alive. But these were little owners who had one station, maybe two, and their heart and soul was in it. It was their entire livelihood. And there was there was no debt service. The reality today is we can have all the discussions we want, but the dollars just don't add up. And what people are doing is not a matter of greed or wanting more profit. It's a matter of trying to figure out how to jigger this so they'll stay alive.
That's why all these properties are being sold.
Have to be. In some cases, if you're a publicly traded company, it's going to make sense. If suddenly your land is worth $100 million and your radio station is worth $100,000, well, sure. But the difference is when that happens, somebody who cares about the radio station is going to find a way to move that tower to a position that will not be disadvantageous. I'm not going to lie and say you can never sell the land, because there are times you've got to if you're publicly traded. But you can preserve the signal if you care enough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's what's not happening.
Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the time.
Always, Nick. It's just terrific hearing from you, and you are sounding better, and hopefully it's only going to be better and better in the future. But keep me posted.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So, always good to hear from Nick. 888-876-5593. 8888. Raleigh, if you don't want to talk about radio, that's fine. I've got the tabloids. No, I know that's a threat, right? No, they're actually interesting this week. That's right. Hollywood's 2024, who's in and who's out? Or if there's something else on your mind, we'll talk about that too. So we'll talk to Mark in Wilmington in a moment right here on WGN Radio. We'll be right back. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. If you can interrupt the show if you'd like, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, in the meantime, we go to Mark in Wilmington. So, Mark, what is up tonight?
Well, my word, I was talking to Brother Steer in Walterboro, South Carolina. This must be a party line. I got Raleigh James.
Yeah, there you are.
He was setting me straight.
I'll bet.
Yeah, you'll lead me down the wrong path.
Well, I will. I'll try. So
now, you may have answered my question here, because I want to talk about a personality on WDEL. And is WDEL, like, is that CBS Odyssey?
Today, I think they're owned by a company called Forever Media.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, they have this personality, Rick Jensen. He's, you know, very civic-minded and nice, and he's been on the air for about 20 years. But recently, for several years now, he's had this sidekick, the second banana, Randy Dasher. And Randy Dasher is just fabulous. And recently, he's been let go. And I'm not online, so I don't know if, you know, he was fired or whatever. They just had funding shortages. So would you know anything about Randy Dasher?
Absolutely nothing. I know about Rick Jensen, obviously, but because he was there, like you say, for years.
He's born August 7th, I think, in Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
and he was the second banana for several years. And he was the main reason I listened to Rick Jensen. And he's suddenly gone, and I don't want to call the station and ask what happened.
Why not? Well, good luck. I guess good luck in getting someone to answer the phone. But
right. Well, I don't want to make people feel bad. He could suddenly be persona non grata. Yeah. I could be persona non grata for asking.
Well, I think that Randy, if I'm not mistaken, was the producer originally, and then he rose to that role. But you know what he's doing now, I don't know. I bet you if you go online, you'll find him. And Dasher.
But you see, I'm not online. I'm not online.
Well, you should try it. Dasher is Dasher, not Dasher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
right.
So
you got that right.
Yeah, you can probably find him. But since you say you can't go online, I will look for Randy Dasher and see what he's doing now. Because as I remember, that was a producer.
He was like an old school radio. Mm-hmm. He always knew when to add humor to the situation, yeah, where Rick is more serious.
Delmarva owned DEL forever, and that was the Steinman family. And it was interesting because the reason I know anything about this radio station has nothing to do with that AM. It has to do with the fact that the Steinman signed a television station on in Wilmington. And originally in 49, it was Channel 7, but that was a problem because, of course, you've got Channel 7 in New York and you've got Channel 7 in Washington. So they moved it to Channel 12. Well, in about 1955, they sold the station. Now, this was when it got good, because what happened there was they sold it to the guy who had owned Wibbitch. And then later, within a year or two, George B. Storer bought both stations, Wibbitch and this Channel 12. And they had an R&B dance show that was the absolute best. It was a guy named Mitch Thomas. And I'll tell you what, those kids on Bandstand, they got their moves from Mitch Thomas's kids. No doubt about that. And, of course, later station went dark. And then, of course, now Channel 12 is, you know, the PBS station in Philadelphia. But Mitch Thomas was on WDAS AM, and he was working with Georgie Woods, the guy with the goods, and Jocko Henderson and all
that. Cool.
Yeah, right,
that's
exactly. Cool. And so, of course, Jocko had a show in New York on TV and all that. So Thomas got a chance on this little station in Wilmington that, you know, basically I think it was WPFH or something, but nobody listened to that. And of course, when he started, this was when, long before Dick Clark, Bob Horn was doing Bandstand. And But I'll tell you what, the kids who danced on Mitch Thomas, man, I wish there were some videos of that, because they were just tremendous, and it lasted about 3 years.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, was Joe Pine actually in Wilmington? Was he in Wilmington?
I think absolutely. Joe Pine, of course, was from Chester originally.
Uh-huh.
Hang on a minute. Don't
I remember he was in like a teen movie or something.
Yeah. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. We're going to find out what's going on in the world at large and be right back to it. That's right. We'll go into the future and then back into the past here on WGN Radio.
It's a non-stop train that's taking me back, but it's traveling much too slow. And the wheels go oom-ba-la-da-da, click-clack-click-clack, oom-ba-la-da-da, oom-ba-la-da-da, every click-clack brings me closer to you. For every mile of railroad track, saying a little prayer, hoping that you'll be taking me back, cause I only got a one-way fare. And the wheels go oom-ba-la-da-da, click-clack-click-clack, baby, I met a lot of gals, I even kissed a few, but I trade a train load for those gals for one sweet kiss for you. And the wheels go oom-ba-la-da-da, click-clack, click-clack, oom-ba-la-da-da, oom-ba-la-da-da, every click-clack brings me closer to you.
You asked for it, you got it. Dickie Doo and the Don'ts, click-clack on Swan. And, of course, as I mentioned, Dickie Doo was the nickname for Dick Clark's kid. And so Jerry Granahan, who was Dickie Doo and the Don'ts, you look at the writer's credit, Grant-Doo. Well, yeah, score another one for Clark. That's the way that was. But Mark is in Wilmington, and he was just asking about Joe Pyne. So, yeah, Joe Pyne was in Wilmington a few times, I think three times at ILM, and he was on TV there as well. But it was interesting because he didn't get the idea to do talk shows on the radio in Wilmington. He was actually working a little station in Kenosha in Wisconsin.
Oh, really? How
and
about
that? WLIP, the station William Lipman owned, hence the call letters. Anyway, the deal was back then, there was no way to do two-way talk. You couldn't put the caller on the air. So basically, it was a deal where you'd hear Pyne, and then you'd hear some silence, and then you'd hear Pyne saying what the caller said. You know, it was I think he called it, "It's Your Nickel." And, of course, that's
I remember. Yeah.
So,
I was young then. I wasn't interested in talk radio back then.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But he was lured back to Wilmington because of DEL TV, and VUE. They went ahead and put the Joe Pyne show on television for about a minute, and then he got a deal to go to Los Angeles, and I think that lasted 27 seconds, and then he came back to VUE, of course, which was seen in Philadelphia, and by then he was starting to really develop more of that acerbic, having guests that he'd put down, obviously.
And
he went to CKGM for a minute in Montreal, actually, and then in Los Angeles for about a minute and a half there. And actually, when he left KBC and went to KLAC, I think that Bob Grant, the guy who later made a name in Boston, he took over on KBC. But he was certainly the showman. He was on KTTV Channel 11, and he had a local show. And the big thing that everybody remembered was the Watts riots, because Pyne was interviewing a militant on the show. And at one point, Pyne, pulls his jacket open to show that he's carrying a handgun, and so does the guest.
Meanwhile,
somebody called the FCC, and this was an investigation. Needless to say, they didn't lose the license, but to tell you how well it worked, within a year he was in syndication.
How did he ever get in that teen movie? You remember he had a cameo in a teen movie?
Yeah, I think that again, he was a a figure, you know what I mean? Why not? But in terms of who would have cast him in that, that's a great question. He was in The Lovin's, and I think that might be what you're talking about. His show had already gone national by then. Why not, right? It's the kind of thing with, I think he'd be perfect for that. Gosh, it's hard to believe he's been dead going on 54 years now.
I want to ask you, too, about a former GN personality that was born in Wilmington. Gary Lee Wright, is he still alive?
I don't know.
He used to work at WGN. Yeah. And he was born here in Wilmington. You know, not Gary Wright, the Dreamweaver.
No, obviously, yeah, right. No.
Yeah.
I think... if it's the same one, I think that he is still around and he has a website, and remember, Gary has two R's. Don't forget
right.
that.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So, well, I'm just glad to hear he's still alive.
Gary Lee Wright. I'm pretty sure it's GaryLeeWright.com. And I don't know, but I assume he's still in Chicago.
Now, I would like to ask you about some songs, too. If you don't mind.
I'll try.
I would love to. This probably isn't your type of song, but I would love to hear the Buckingham, since they're, you know, Chicago people. Here I Am Back in Love Again.
Really? Okay. No, the Buckinghams did some wonderful stuff, and the guy who wrote most of that stuff, I forget his name now, and that's terrible because I've had him on the air, and he was just terrific and as a songwriter, and why can't I think of his name? But I thought some of their stuff was just magnificent as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. Great little top 40.
And Here I Am Back in Love Again is very short, so you can almost play the whole song.
Right, but
so,
what the heck?
And then some others, like Dean and Jean, Hey Dean.
Oh, God, wow.
Remember Dean and Jean?
Yes, I do remember.
I hope you don't dislike it or whatever.
Yeah, I do, but I don't hate it. You know, it's just...
Okay. And a couple other I'm not sure of. I think it's Minnie Riperton said, sang something like The Edge of a Dream.
By the way, Jim Holvey, that was the guy's name, Jim Holvey, and he's still around.
Oh, yes.
And he was just a terrific songwriter. But anyway,
have to play these. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were saying I interrupted you.
I think I remember something like The Edge of a Dream or something, and I think it's Minnie Riperton. Something like The Edge of a Dream.
Yeah, absolutely.
The title of it?
Yeah, it is. I don't know if it was on that album where she's wearing that little, you know, denim jumper with no shirt underneath it. I don't. It was. Yeah, it's on that album, The Edge of a Dream. I'm pretty sure. And
I'm not sure. You don't have to play this, but I think it's Carolyn Willis, maybe a Honeycomb, Darling, Take Me With You. Is that it? Does that ring a bell?
All right.
Darling, Take Me With You. I don't know if it's Carolyn Willis or Honeycomb.
Okay, I'll look for that. I don't know. But I think that Edge of a Dream could have been the flip of Lovin' You.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's
on Epic. Because, I should know this. I was at Epic at the time. But, you know, I guess I didn't pay as much attention to the pop side of it. But I'm pretty sure that was the B-side of Lovin' You.
Oh, boy, I think I like that better than Loving You, because I didn't like all the birds.
Yeah, la, 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 yeah, who does?
Yeah. but it's great she had that range and all. I'm sorry she had to go leave us so soon.
She was terrific, and she a lot of things few people know about her in the past. Prior to that, she was in some great little R&B things in Chicago.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, wasn't there something called Rotary Connection?
Oh, well, yes, that too, but I wasn't thinking about that.
Right, but I'm not too familiar with it, but I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think, was it the G's? No, it'll come back to me, but she was in a girl group that I kind of liked. So
One more thing, and I'll let you go. This is old-time scandal chic fodder. What do you think actually happened to Natalie Wood?
Oh, isn't that a great story? I mean, this keeps the tabloids alive.
Well, you don't hear about it so much anymore.
Oh, yeah, no, you really do. Every year or two, it comes up again because they run out of things to write about. Trust me, it's still in there.
Well, she died at Thanksgiving, so it often comes up at Thanksgiving.
Well, right, but I mean, they always show a picture of Robert, what's his name?
RJ
on his last leg. And then who's the other guy who played a bad guy on TV?
Oh, Christopher Walken.
There you go. Exactly. Walken. Who was on the boat that night. You know, so they've had also. So, yeah, I mean, hell, I wasn't on the boat. I don't know. But I don't know that anybody killed her. But I do think probably there's a little more to the story than we know.
Yeah, because she hated water. You know, she just hated water. So why would she go off the boat? You know, it just
well, no,
make
I mean,
sense.
Well, if you're drunk, you might fall off the boat.
Yeah, but I don't think she would have. Yeah.
Well, but, you know, like I say, it's one of those stories that'll be around forever. And you know, I assume that that Robert Wagner knows. And obviously, I didn't say he's guilty of anything, but I would assume that he's got more knowledge than anybody. You know, and I assume probably Walken has some knowledge too. But that'll go to their graves. We're never going to know. So whatever story you like, you tell it.
Okay. Well, I think RJ did it. I think he did it. Yeah.
Intentionally?
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think he was in a drunken rage and threw her off the boat. Yeah, that's what I feel. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
sure. Well, you know, it's as plausible as anything else. Like I say, I wasn't there that night. So I'm sure that many people share your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. Well, I'll let you go, Raleigh. You're a delight.
Thanks for calling.
There.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you find out anything about Randy Dasher, I'll call you another time.
Okay, I'm going to look for him. When I get off the air, I'm going to do a little search. I'll try to find
him. And then if you could come up with any of those songs, that would be great.
Okay. Like, all right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you, Raleigh. God bless.
We have a YouTube article. Well, that would require me to see a video. That's not going to happen. At 93, Robert Wagner breaks his silence on Natalie Wood. I doubt it. We'd have heard about that. And the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department cleared him. So he's not a person of interest in that. But there are other people who are saying it was not an accident. And maybe not. But those are the kind of stories that I don't know we'll ever know. But they're apparently, Natalie Wood had a bio, and Suzanne, I forget her last name, but was the author of that. And she in that book, has details about the death. And I don't know what they are, because as far as that goes. But I guess we could try to find out. But did she drown by chance? Well, yes, I know. It's the stuff that keeps the tabloids in business. Speaking of which, we'll take a look at the Inquirer. Yeah, 2020, who's in, who's out. Never mind that. We have Maury settling orangutan paternity case. Okay, well, I'll find out about that. Who's Maury? And more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I think that's the song we were talking about, Back in Love Again, which was the Buckinghams, and Jim Holbe was not involved in that at all. That was 68 on Columbia. And it was written by Marty Greb, who actually, I think, was the third keyboardist for the group. Dennis had been the first one, then he left, and then I think Larry Nestor replaced him, and then Marty Greb, and he had been in The Exception. So that is the deal. All right, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. I was so busy looking for that, I failed to find out who Maury is here with the orangutan paternity case. I don't know exactly how this works. I almost don't want to know. Let's see. Oh, there's an interesting article, Porn Nation. Apparently, America has become a nation of do-it-yourself porn creators. Over 3 million people are posting adult-themed content online now. And, of course, we heard about that recently with the the college guy. I think he was in Wisconsin, who they fired him from his job because he and his wife apparently had an explicit site, shall we say. And I think there's going to be a lawsuit there, too, because the college is saying that they, you know, they bring disrespect on the college. And he's saying there's no one who would know that we were at the, who cares. All right. So what do we have here? Well, exotic dancers, you kind of expect that maybe they'll branch out into this. But now we have, people are paying to see that. You can look at the Inquirer yourself. I won't describe any more than that. But unassuming English teacher Brianna Copage apparently had a side hustle, and to supplement her income as a teacher, she was at St. Clair High in Missouri and only making $42,000 a year. This didn't last very long. The school board apparently. Now, of course, you might ask yourself, and exactly how did the school board find this? All right, so who was looking? So nonetheless, apparently she was not too upset because she raked in over $1 million. And she says, I know some people think it's taboo, but I have tens of thousands of fans now. Well, far exceeded her teacher's salary. I guess there's something for everybody online. Bootylicious, nervy, what? Bootylicious Nevy Cakes reinvented herself via OnlyFans, and she went from homeless to rich. She was making $45,000 a year working three jobs. And then she found out that there were other things that she could do. And at this point, she's been earning $2.5 million a year from the comfort of her new home. Oh, man. I guess you pay to see these. I don't know. I assume that what we're reading about here in Porn Nation, this isn't hardcore stuff. But it's enough, I guess, to get people to pay some money. I haven't been to OnlyFans. Maybe you have, and you can call in and tell me about it. I don't plan to go. But here we have a bored couple that were looking for a fun marriage experience. Oh, well. And yes, that was Crystal and Chris, and they decided they'd open an account, and apparently sensual stories about her past and X-rated pictures, and they were pocketing a fortune within a couple years. And he said, if you want to get $500,000 for an hour of work a day, would you do it? Yeah, you would. Well, I don't know. One of the problems is their other life. They were practicing Catholics. I don't know what they were practicing because obviously they perfected this online stuff. But nonetheless, the school, the Catholic school their kids attended, kicked them out. And again, you say, and how did they know that? Because they're obviously not doing this under their own names. Somebody had to find the site, see the site, and identify these people. See, that's the story I want on The Inquirer, but I'm not going to get it. All right, so let's move on. Try to find this orangutan story. Interrupt the show if you want to, if you want the waning moment. By the way, tomorrow night, it is a full three-hour show. So we will start that at 10 o'clock Central Time. And what else do we have here? Sea monster kills tourist on camera. No, I'll let you read that on your own. So there were pictures, too. And you wonder how that happened. But there are so many things I wonder about day to day and keeps you up at night, doesn't it? I never found the orangutan. It must have been another one of those great headlines that made... Oh, I did. Who's the daddy? All right. What we have here, I'm holding it right close to the microphone so the picture will form in your speaker. Do you see it? No, I didn't think so either. We have Main Squeeze Barani and new toy boy Jaya. Apparently, everyone at the Denver Zoo, oh, God, knew that Irena had been two-timing her main squeeze, so when the heat was on to determine who was the biological father of the newborn girl, they called on an expert to determine paternity. They called on Maury Povich. Okay, then. Irena is a Sumatran orangutan, an endangered species, and they asked Maury. Maury's 84 now, clearly, and doesn't have much to do in his free time. He was hired to settle the prickly paternity dispute over who was the rightful baby daddy. Was it Barani, 30 years old, by all accounts a great ape? Or was it the sly, studly simian Jaya, just 16 years old? Well, Maury, of course, as you know, has settled plenty of paternity cases while hosting a television show. I think that was on until like last year or something, or fairly close to that, and started in 91. So it was like 30 years of that. So he figured he was happy to help. He had nothing else to do. And he apparently, amid great fanfare, named the primate playboy in question, pulling out a piece of paper from a manila envelope and saying, "Barani, you are the father." Ah, so 30-year-old Barani, a great ape. And now that the news is out, it seems that the little chimp, Siska, is a chimp off the old block. And so zoo officials did admit that mom had been enjoying courtship and mating activity with Jaya. Well, apparently Barani came through, and he's ready to groom another gal. The original Orange Bachelor, okay, shares his living quarters with three other lady loves and is approved for breeding through the Sumatran Orangutan Species Survival Plan. All right. So, I know. It's come to this. All right, so James is saying, but wait a minute. I gave you hundreds of stories that are better than that. Well, some of them certainly more interesting, so James, you'll have to call me back tomorrow night and we'll discuss them.
Okay.
All right, looking forward
but
to it.
I had to admit, I was laughing there when I heard about the Maury having to decide on help on the ape thing. I said, well, okay, now we have really come to the primate end of the line.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, Barani apparently will be doing this again and again since he's got the three lady loves.
Oh, yeah, he might. They might just simply, like, pipe in, Lou Rawls, my lady love.
Ah, perfect. Perfect. It somehow it sets the stage. Talk to you tomorrow night. Thanks. All right,
okay,
so we, and James gives me a million stories. Okay, not a million, but literally hundreds a day. And many of them we don't share because they're political in nature, but some of them are just a riot. So we'll pick it up 21 hours from now, actually. That would be at 10 o'clock Central tomorrow night. Until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you. You are the star of the show, that's for sure. I just sit back and have a good time. I'm Raleigh James. Talk to you tomorrow night on WGN Radio.